I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Later in the program, the man who is bringing Don Imus back to the airwaves. Citadel Broadcasting Vice President for News Talk Programming is with us, and a special barbershop will explain. But first, our regular Friday political roundtable. Fireworks in the presidential nomination race on the Democratic side, and a slow and steady march to the nomination on the Republican side. We're 1 year and 2 days out, folks. Joining me in the studio to talk about all this, Perry Bacon with The Washington Post and Christina Bellantoni with The Washington Times. Both cover politics. Welcome. Thanks so much for joining me.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Let's get right to the mudslinging. I mean, maybe not quite mud, maybe lint slinging. There's definitely a different tone on the Democratic side of the campaign than we had just the week before. Perry, what's happened?
I think at some point all the candidates, particularly Senator Obama, decided they needed to really engage and Senator Clinton and attack her, and specifically not just attack her on issues, but also suggest that she's Edwards and Obama suggest that she was sort of poll-driven and calculating. So they really decided to sort of dial it up and make it a little more about her character, because I think she succeeded in saying that her views on the issues are very similar to theirs, and I think that's generally true. So they really made it specific about her character.
And what was the vehicle for doing it? Was it interviews? There was a debate last week. How did they decide to step it up?
Obama gave an interview with the New York Times. He also, specifically also in the debate itself, I think both he, of course, he and Edwards, like both from the beginning, you know, used the first question from the beginning to say Hillary Clinton has flip-flopped or not been honest about Social Security and Iran. And then, of course, there was a moment at the end of the debate that was very striking when she was asked if she supported illegal immigrants getting driver's licenses. And Senator Chris Dodd,
which is a proposal in New York State, her home state, you know, Democratic Governor Eliot Spitzer is advancing this proposal.
Exactly. And it's something that's been very controversial in New York as well. And she was asked about it, and she seemed to, you know, to say it was a good idea, but wouldn't really say if she was for it or not. And Senators Obama and Edwards and actually Chris Dodd and the Clinton folks, say the moderator, Tim Russert, also seemed to really be emphatic about trying to make her pin her down on the answer.
The response from the Clinton campaign has been to produce a video titled The Politics of Pylon, which shows some of these attacks from the debate in rapid fire. Let's hear it.
Senator Clinton.
Senator Clinton.
Senator Clinton.
Senator Clinton.
Senator Clinton.
Senator Clinton.
Hillary Clinton.
Senator 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 Clinton.
Hillary.
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 Hillary Clinton.
Hillary is the first lady, and now Senator Clinton.
I seem to be the topic of great conversation and consternation, and that's for a reason.
Now, you can see the video on YouTube if you want to. Christine, I wanted to ask you, for somebody who wants to be commander-in-chief, is this a good idea? It seems to be she seems to be wanting to make the point that she's being piled on. But is that a good idea?
Piling on, I think, is becoming the new talking point of the race this week. It's a great question because some people look at it as fun. You know, oh, look, all these people are talking about her, and she's made this joke. Oh, I'm the subject of all these men because she's the only woman in the race. She can do that. But I had a conversation last night with a few, you know, very successful, intelligent, talented women that were saying, actually, that's kind of irritating to me. She's very tough. Why would she kind of accuse these people of bullying her and attacking her when really she was just on the defensive for some of her answers?
Were these women Democrats or Republicans, or do you know?
I actually don't know. Probably Democrats based on where I was, but I didn't ask.
Perry, what about you? Is there any risk for the male candidates in the race by attacking her? You remember in her Senate race, in her first Senate race, her opponent, you know, crossed the stage at one point to kind of physically confront her, even though she was the front runner anyway. This did not, it was not well received by the voters. And what do you think?
I think it's for John Edwards and Obama, who are her sort of central rivals. I think it's less about them being men attacking her. Obama in particular and Edwards have both, their brand of politics has been, you know, they're positive, they're idealistic. So I think in that sense, it's like, you know, Obama early on in August, when he attacked Senator Clinton, a voter in Iowa actually came up to him and asked him, I'm nervous about you doing this. I don't want you to sound like every other politician that I hear all the time. I think for Obama and Edwards, who have really been known as sort of positive people, I think that's the challenge for them, is how do they attack her while not ruining their own brands.
And you hear a lot from both President Bill Clinton and Senator Clinton saying, you're not going to hear me say anything bad about anybody. You know, what a great opportunity we have in this field. And they're really laudatory of all the other rivals. So it stands out that her challengers are starting to point out her differences.
No, but she's the front runner.
That's she can give the royal
wave.
Right?
You know, she can afford to give the royal wave. But speaking of that, the national polls do show that Senator Clinton is ahead. Now, her rivals to this point have been saying the national polls are irrelevant. They don't really mean anything. But the state polls in Iowa, New Hampshire, and South Carolina also show the same thing. So, Christina, do you think that this debate that Harry was talking about, where they've kind of unloaded on her for the first time, and do you think that that's going to change the dynamics in any way?
I'm not sure that the debate itself will change dynamics. At this point, a lot more people are starting to pay attention in some of the bigger states. The early states, they've been paying attention for a long time, but all the polls show that there are still a high number of undecided voters, especially in Iowa, which is the central battleground where she's putting a lot of resources and a lot of time. She's going there, I think, tonight for a four-day swing, and it's really important for her to win in Iowa.
But, Perry, the Democrats moved South Carolina and Nevada's primaries up in part to offer, you know, more diversity, to bring different constituencies into the process early on. So, but if there is this Clinton juggernaut in Iowa and in New Hampshire, do South Carolina and Nevada even matter?
I think if Senator Clinton wins Iowa and New Hampshire, it'll be very hard for anybody to win. In that case, I think South Carolina and Nevada will matter very little. I do think if it's a split result, if Edwards wins Iowa or Obama wins Iowa, she wins New Hampshire, then I think South Carolina and Nevada, Nevada, to be honest, has been a sort of not been campaigning as extensively, but South Carolina, I think, will be particularly important. Obama's campaign thinks they can do very well there because of the large black population, so it'll be interesting to watch.
Mm-hmm. And Christina, what do you think?
You'll also have Michigan in the middle of all that. They've broken the DNC rules and they're supposed to have a primary on January 15th. And the only people on that ballot are Senator Clinton, Senator Chris Dodd, and Dennis Kucinich. And so Senator Clinton is very likely to win that race as well.
If you're just joining us, this is Tell Me More from NPR News. In the studio with me today, political reporters Christina Bellantoni with The Washington Times and Perry Bacon with The Washington Post. Let's talk about the Republican side of the equation. You have former New York Mayor Rudy Giuliani leading Mitt Romney in the national polls. But then you've got Mitt Romney leading Giuliani in the state polls in Iowa, New Hampshire, and South Carolina. So, Christina, what does that mean?
It's a great question. You see this split in both races. Very interesting. But with Rudy Giuliani, you hear a lot of Republicans talking about he's the best position to beat Senator Clinton, and everybody's assuming that she will be the nominee. And even in the Republican debate, they all mentioned Senator Clinton just as often as the Democrats did. And in fact, that quote in her ad about subject of great consternation and conversation, she was actually talking about the Republicans in that quote. And mm-hmm. she put it together with the Democrats. So right now, Romney he's doing very well because he spent a lot of time and a lot of money in Iowa. And the other states, he doesn't have such a solid lead. And so it's a real question of whether Giuliani can translate his broad national appeal into these state contest.
Do you think it's a two-person race, Perry, essentially? Are the other people just out of it?
No, I don't. I think that Fred Thompson just got in, so I think people are still feeling him out, particularly in the South. He's sort of the only Southerner, and the Republicans are more of a Southern party than they used to be, and I think that you have to feel him out. And John McCain is sort of coming up in the polls. He's very popular in New Hampshire, where he won in 2000, so I wouldn't count him out yet either.
But, you know, one of the things that interests me, Christina, is that there's lots of talk about unrest among religious conservatives. But there are religious conservatives in the field. What about, you know, Mike Huckabee? He's a Pentecostal minister. Sam Brownback just left the race, clearly a religious conservative. You know, what is it that religious conservatives aren't finding?
I think a lot of them do like Mike Huckabee. And one of the problems with him is he's getting hit on the other side, not being fiscally conservative enough. But the religious conservatives are split among candidates like Huckabee. Some of them like Tom Tancredo. You also have some of them liking Mitt Romney. And so there's the question of his Mormonism and whether that will translate and what people can expect from a Mormon presidency. And he says it would be no different than any other presidency. So I think that's everybody's just kind of making up their minds. But you have this threat also of a third party candidate for social conservatives. And so I think there's a lot of worry on the Republican side of who can take that mantle and actually win the nomination.
So is the issue not so much ideological compatibility as both compatibility and winnability? Is that it?
It seems to be. That's what voters say. They're considering both. And a lot of voters say they will never vote for a pro-choice Republican.
Like
or a Democrat.
Like Rudy Giuliani.
Right.
And Perry, you brought up Fred Thompson. He got in late. He thought it's not a problem. But he doesn't really seem to be getting any traction. So why do you think he's still a factor?
only because the field is so unsettled. I think he's still a factor. He's not been very impressive on the stump, and he seems to have a much lighter schedule. He doesn't seem to be doing a lot of events, and he doesn't seem to be campaigning as actively as some of the other candidates either. So I'm uncertain of what his strategy is right now, but I think it's so undefined that I'm just skeptical, and I'm reluctant to say who's out, and it's a two-man race already. But it's close to, I mean, Rudy and Giuliani and Mitt Romney are more likely than anybody else to win the Republican nomination.
Mm-hmm. And what do you think about Fred Thompson, Christina, how he's doing?
Well, one thing, Fred Thompson getting in so late, he still has to raise money, and so a lot of the reasons he's not doing the stumping is because he's out doing these private fundraisers. But in both cases, I do like to say it's not a 2 or 3 person race, because that's what Iowa is all about. It's about these second tier candidates being able to break through and actually make something happen. And we're 61 days away, I think, from the Iowa caucus. So I'm convinced anything can happen.
So finally, I just can't let you go without asking this. It's the earliest an election cycle has ever started, at least in my memory, and we keep hearing that people aren't paying attention yet. But I wonder if voter fatigue could already be setting in. I'm just wondering what you're hearing from the readers of your publications. Do you think people are still interested? Are you getting a lot of, you know, when you go to events, do people seem engaged? Are you getting a lot of letters to the editor? How do you gauge it compared to when you've sort of covered past campaigns, Christina?
For me, this is my first national presidential campaign, but for me, it seems like people are very engaged, and not necessarily in all of the states, but people are following the news. They're reading a lot on a lot of different blogs and newspaper sites. And I think that this is where people are very, very interested in the race.
Okay, Perry, very quickly.
People say they're tired of covering hearing about the campaign, but they then talk to me about their very detailed observations of who they like best. They seem like they're following it pretty well to me.
So. Okay. Perry Bacon is with The Washington Post. Christina Bellantoni is with The Washington Times. They both cover politics. They both were here with me in the studio in Washington. Thank you both so much.
Thanks
for coming
so much.
In.
Thanks. Have a great day.
Coming up, he's bringing Don Imus back to the airwaves. Is he in for a big payoff or a big headache? Citadel Broadcasting's Phil Boyce is with us. That's next.